Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 26th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are starting Chapter 5 on page 58. The first paragraph of Chapter 5 is How It Works. Starts with, rarely have we seen a person fail, and ending with, if they have the capacity to be honest. So we'll be studying that very packed paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions, Liz A. Readers of the text are Becca R., Shelley E., and Leslie M. The share ID for Wednesday, January 25th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,886. That's 19886. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, January 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,888. That's 19888. Newcomer greeter is Jody E., and the announcements person is Leslie W. Away preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for all your service and for everyone. This is Karen W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Karen W. And I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Liz A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are starting Chapter 5, How It Works, page 58, with rarely have we seen a person fail, and it ends with if they have the capacity to be honest. We'll be studying that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Becca R. to get us started. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, guys. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic, calling in from Kentucky. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunate. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And wow, what a pleasure to read this paragraph. I've heard it in meetings for years, and to really just break it down and dive into it. This morning, what stuck out to me is that sentence, naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living. Because I feel like I have a lot of instincts that came naturally. My instinct to find a partner, my instinct to become a mother, my instinct has served me well in a lot of areas. However, that instinct of rigorous honesty, the way of life which I've found in the 12 steps, was not there. I've always felt like I needed to be sneaky, tell lies that don't even matter, which lead to more lies. And the biggest lie was the lie I was telling myself, like that it was okay. On my own, I'm incapable of living like that. With the 12 steps, with a sponsor, being recovered and having a relationship with God, I have found that I can live like that. And it's not of my own being. It's by tapping into this resource, this higher power. One of the questions my sponsor asked me when I came to her broken from the disease of overeating and anorexia and bulimia, she said, "Do you feel like you're living in accordance to your higher power and what that higher power would want for you?" And absolutely not. Like, that was such an easy question for me. No. When I would put my hand on my heart, I knew I wasn't being true to myself. I wasn't being true to the Creator. And I can say now, today, as a recovered woman, as if you ask me that same question, yes, immediately, yes. I am living in accordance to my higher power. And that is God-given. That is not Becca-given. So I look forward to hearing everybody's shares with that. I pass.
Well, thank you, Becca R., for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 5, How It Works, page 58, starting with Rarely Have We Seen a Person Fail. And it ends with, if they have the capacity to be honest. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne A.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Mary O.
Miriam, did you say?
Mary.
Mary. Mary, what's your last initial?
O.
Mary O. Okay.
Don G.
Don G. I'll stop there. That's six. Thank you. So we have Donna B., Wendy B., Yvonne A., Deborah G., Mary O., and Don G. And please let us know where you're calling from. We'll start with Donna B. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. It's a pleasure to hear you this morning. My name is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. And I want to talk briefly about this idea of grave emotional and mental disorders. I would not consider myself as a person with grave emotional and mental disorders. But I do have a diagnosis of PTSD, which is a mental disorder. And I also have some physical limitations. I have interstitial cystitis and mast cell activation syndrome, as well as arthritis. So there's a lot of stuff going on in my mind and in my body. It certainly creates challenges for me as a human being. However, I am entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food ingredients and from my alcoholic food behaviors, and have been for over 4.5 years, which absolutely is a miracle. And a gift that has been given to me from my higher power. And I do believe that that gift availed itself in my life because of the desperation I was living with, the willingness I had in working the steps, and the willingness I have to adhere to the principles of this program no matter what. So I have some challenges. I have some disadvantages. I have some, you know, real issues that work against me in this, you know, sort of fantasy life I would like where everything goes smoothly and easily. But that's how I was created. And I have a lot of outside resources. I have a psychiatrist and a trauma therapist and a physical therapist. And so I just, in this short few seconds I have left, I just want to share that in my personal experience, recovery is possible no matter what. And I hope that's inspiring and inviting, rather than sounding like, you know, get over whatever your problems are and just do this, because that's certainly not my sentiment and not the voice that works for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Donna. Thank you very much. Wendy B., followed by Yvonne A.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I did a Google search on what diagnosis they might be referring to when they say constitutionally incapable of being honest. And I think it might be, you know, the narcissistic personality, the pathological liar, and the sociopath. And it said their level of denial is so extreme, so ingrained into their being, that it's virtually impossible for them to see the reality of their situation. They believe their own lies, and they lie with no conscience or remorse. And it also says you can never fix a deceptive person. You can simply lessen the impact of their deception on you. So, you know, we learn to set boundaries and remove ourselves from the situation. And I love when it says there at the bottom, there are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover, you know, if they have the capacity to be honest. And I think I fell into that category, you know, in my past, you know, when I was just willfully believing the lies, you know, and denying the truth. And, you know, I was depressed and insecure and codependent and suicidal. And, you know, but somehow, you know, a miracle happened and I started having a hunger for the truth. You know, I think I just finally hit bottom in my codependency and I was just so miserable. I became open and willing to accept the truth. And, you know, it was, you know, a very painful process of pulling the roots of the lies that I believed out of my brain, you know, and replacing them with the truth. But that was the beginning of my recovery, you know, and I'll be forever grateful, you know, that God gave me a desire for truth and honesty. And that's what it takes, you know, to work this program. And thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you very much, Wendy B. Up next is Yvonne A., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Mo and everyone. I'm Yvonne A., recovered compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. And when I got, I mean, I haven't been in OA too long. I just started with a sponsor in April of last year. And when I got to this part of the book that said there were some people that weren't going to be able to recover, I was so sure that I was going to be in that category. And I didn't have any reason to go into that. I didn't have any, you know, health or emotional issues that should have come out of it. I thought I was. But I was still sure that if there was some sort of loophole, some sort of group of people that actually weren't going to be able to have this program work for them, then surely I was going to fall into that group of people. And so my sponsor was very patient with me and explained that, no, every newcomer feels the same way. They're sure that, you know, it's not going to work for them. And so I just want to share for everybody on the line who's new-ish, that I now have been through the 12 steps and had, I mean, my recovery for me is my miracle. I never had or knew what food neutrality was before I went through the steps. I've never experienced you know, 9 months of abstinence before in my life. So it, and it just completely changed how I looked at things to find out. I mean, I didn't understand when I started that this was a spiritual program. And so when I was able to let go of the diet mentality and that sort of white-knuckling attitude that I thought I was going to have and made a commitment to just follow my sponsor's lead, to embrace the idea of a higher power and that somehow this was going to work. I still don't know how it worked, but it worked. It's the most amazing thing to me. Anyway, so as someone who thought they were going to be falling into this category of unable to recover, I just feel so blessed today to be able to say that I am not. I did recover, and there is hope for each and every one of us. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne A. Next is Deborah G., followed by Mary O. Good morning, Deborah G.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you. Thank you so much for leading us this morning and everyone that's making this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you. Thank you. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're in this program. It's wonderful. I just have gotten so many beautiful gifts from this program, and it's all fellows and the beautiful book of Recovered Place. I remember I could not get honest with, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. I don't think I said that. Anyways, I remember I couldn't get honest. I kept relapsing. And I was getting really tired of relapsing. But then again, I knew why I was relapsing, because I knew there was one alcoholic food that I wouldn't let go of. I just wouldn't let go of it. I kept playing around with it. It was salt. And I kept doing, sea salt or Himalayan or, you know, all these these dishonest stories I would tell myself that it's going to be different if I just do this and that. And then one day I finally woke up. I had a salt shaker in one hand, spoon in the other. I wasn't even tasting my food. I was salting every bite. And it was awful. And I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I woke up and I finally got honest with myself that I couldn't do that anymore. And I got myself an OA Vision sponsor. I went through the steps with her. It was beautiful, my first step experience. You know, she shared with me the first step principle was honesty, and to write on honesty. And really looking at the reality that I'm a compulsive overeater, getting honest with myself about that, and then getting honest through the rest of the steps, just surrendering and saturating myself in that honesty, carrying it through the rest of the steps so I could get neutrality, I could get free. And being honest, you know, I'm human. I'm not always honest, but I'm more aware of it today, and I can make that wrong right today. What a beautiful, beautiful way to live. And thank you so much again.
And thank you, Deborah G. Up next is Mary O., followed by Dawn G. And after Dawn, I'll take a lineup of names and just remind everybody we're on Chapter 5, page 58, how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail, and it ends with, if they have the capacity to be honest. Okay, Mariel, you're up. Press star one, Mary. I still can't hear you, Mary. If not, we'll sneak over to Dawn G. Are you available, Dawn? I'll come back to Mary.
Hi, this is Dawn G. from Texas. Thanks, Mo, for leading the meeting. Appreciate everyone being here today. So I remember when I came into the rooms of OA many years ago, this was what we read at the beginning of the meeting. And, you know, I thought I was one of those people, like many have said, that were constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. And me being honest with myself was just as hard as putting the food down. Like, I don't know if I was afraid of the discomfort, the risk, the fear, you know, there was so much fear involved in that. And quite honestly, I was incapable of seeing what the honest truth was. And, you know, I just love where the placement of this is, because it's right after We Agnostics. I mean, this paragraph has thoroughly, completely, a couple times, honest three times, and simple in there. And I just had to rely on faith that working these steps would get me something. And didn't know what it was. It was slowly at first staying out of the food, but I just absolutely think it's, you know, going on faith, following these steps, God was revealed, or higher power was revealed to me. The honesty continues to be revealed to me. And no way does it feel as painful as it was, you know, just like putting the food down doesn't feel painful anymore. And I think just, you know, following the path, just taking the simple steps. We don't have to worry about controlling the honesty. We don't have to worry about controlling the food. Just do the steps, you know, and the rest will happen. And that's what did. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that honesty doesn't feel like this huge burden anymore. It's just so free to be in that place where I can be myself, where I can speak the truth, or I can share my difficulties and rely on people. And I wouldn't have that today if it weren't for this program. You know, and it also means to me being honest with people in program that I'm communicating with. If I see something, the intent is not to take inventory. The intent is to help my fellows recover. And, you know, I expect people to be honest with me. And that's what we're all here for, to help each other. And I'm just so grateful that how this unfolds, so simple. I don't have to worry about anything, just do the steps and the rest comes. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Dawn G. Is Mary O. on the line? Press star 1 to unmute if you are. If not, I'm going to take another lineup of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you
Linda
your
R.
sharing.
Oh, sorry.
Every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I've got Linda R. Gotcha.
Miriam H.
Linnea
B.
W. Oh, wait a minute. Miriam H. And then we got Linnea.
Karen W.
And then who was after Linnea?
Karen W.
Peter.
Was that Pam?
Peter M.
W.
Karen.
Karen W. Oh, Karen.
Yeah.
And then Peter. We'll stop with Peter. Karen W. and Peter. I didn't get your last. Oh, it's M. Peter. Okay. I've got Linda R., Miriam H., Linnea B., Karen W., Peter M. Whew, good lineup. Thank you very much. Please announce yourself and the state you're from. Good morning, Linda R.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can very clearly.
Thanks so much for your service and for everybody on the line today. Linda R. recovered in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And, you know, the honesty, I'm listening to the honesty, and rarely have we seen a person fail. So when I came into program many years ago, I did know that I was powerless over food. But the only way that I got honest was by the unmanageability of my life and my ego deflation. And today, you know, being in the program many years, I with God, I've discovered that there's a difference between my food plan and a difference between my abstinence. So my food plan, you know, it takes away all my craving foods, you know, the foods that I'm allergic to. But then once I put those down, then I start getting, you know, all these emotions that come up. So like in Dr. Zapata talks about entire abstinence. So it took me a very, very long time to get that concept, because I have that rationalization of this disease. So although I was at a healthy body weight, you know, my food plan wasn't still look good look at it. So recently I really took a look at my food plan again. I've been on maintenance many years, been abstinent term, but it wasn't entire because I was still getting a lot of anxiety, reactions rather than responses. You know, I was looking at my behaviors in life. And lately, as a senior citizen, you know, it was getting like to a point where I just really had to get honest. So anyway, long story short, I decided, you know, I went back and I really went through my food. Like even my app, you know, the food, so-called abstinent foods, I like took them. And I can tell you, you know, my spiritual life is so much better because I'm such a clear vessel now and I'm connected so much more with clarity and it's been amazing. So I just, difference for me between a food plan and abstinent, and today I want to live a sober life with my higher power guiding and directing me and me with total honesty, which I can be now. But it took me a very long time. It's a process. And I just, you know, kept coming back, working these steps diligently, redoing steps at times. And today I just feel happy, joyous, and free. So thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Linda R. from Florida. Miriam H., followed by Linnea B. Good morning, Miriam.
Hi, I'm Miriam H. I'm a compulsive overeater from Southern California. I am relatively new to Visions, and thank you so much for being here, and thank you, Mo, for leading. You know, I came into program as a youngster, I mean, literally 18 years old, and what we had back then was the big book, the AA 12 and 12, and a food plan. And everybody did the same thing. And I remember being a young age, but I remember this paragraph so much because of it's written. It's very, very dynamic. It gets right to the point that we have to be honest about what I'm doing, what Miriam is doing with her addiction, and my addiction is the foods, you know, the high fat, high sugar foods. That's my addiction. It always has been, and it doesn't go away. And if I pick them up, I'm back in the addiction. And you know, I do suffer from a diagnosis of depression for many years. And, but I cling to this phrase that if I'm honest and I'm willing to share and I'm willing to be there, that's not part of this paragraph, but if I'm honest and I'm willing to be there, you know, I have a good chance at recovering from this disease. And, I like myself better today back in the program. But there's, you know, more work to do. So I don't want to go on, but I'm really glad that this meeting is here and your shares are very touching. And thank you for letting me be part of this morning. And I pass.
Thank you very much. Is it Miriam or Marianne? Oh, sorry. Okay. We'll go on.
Linnea Hi, B, I'm Miriam. Followed- Miriam H.
Okay. All okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And Linnea B., you're up next, followed by Karen W.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Linnea B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, Linnea in Minnesota, Lanaya. So how it works, just think we have a whole chapter called How It Works. So if I ever have any questions, I can just come right here. And believe me, I have had many questions, and I have read this page many times looking for answers, you know, and trying to gauge my attitudes and my actions or measure my attitudes and my actions against what it says here, you know. And, you know, rarely have we seen a person fail. Okay, so I have a chance. I really have a chance, you know. if I will completely give myself to this simple program with both feet, get in and completely give myself to this simple program. And that level of surrender, that, you know, God willing, I mean, it's here today. But boy, the process of ego deflation has just been immensely painful and taking very long time. You know, but I know that I'm constitutionally capable of being honest with myself. And then if I were to ever think that I wasn't, it would just be an excuse. I know that's true. I also know that I have grave mental and emotional disorders, you know. But there's all kinds of ways to recover from them. There is a solution for them too, you know. And this is telling me that no matter, that then I can recover. That's the main message for me of this paragraph. I have to do some things. And I have to hold this precious attitude of willingness that then allows me to be honest. And that saying that I'm as sick as my secrets is so true for me, whatever secrets might mean. And all I have to do is look at my body and say, oh, man, I've had a lot of secrets. You know, secrets in how I really feel, secrets in what I really think, secrets and things that I've done, just a lot of secrets. But, you know, hey, we have a fourth and tenth step for that. So we have a way out, you know, and this is a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty, not just a little honesty, but rigorous. And I would like to think that I can get by on lesser honesty, but I can't. Not if I really want to have the problem that centers in my mind given to God and relieved. And there's nothing like that. It's the most wonderful feeling in the world, actually. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Karen W., followed by Peter M. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Island, New York. And it's not really normal for me to have something smack me right in the head when I read something, but this first two sentences, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, which I thought I had done for a few years. I thought I did. Until I had my relapse and then got back to working the steps again from the beginning and seeing how unwilling I had been before. There were certain things that I resisted. I wasn't going to do them because it wasn't necessary for me to do them. And now I'm doing things that I never thought I would do in the way of recovery. And the difference is it's night and day. And I am completely giving myself to this program and I am entirely abstinent and I'm not afraid to look at ingredients anymore on labels. And I don't know what else to say except that I am thoroughly following this path and I will give myself over to all of these things that worked for people. I've heard it said recently that this book is not a novel. This is an experience. This is a book about what actually happened to people, what people actually did. And so I think that's pretty profound, and I'll pass. Thank you so much for your service, everyone.
Thank you, Karen W. Before I take Peter M., I'm going to be able to take a few more names, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we'll take Peter M. and then I'll take a list of names. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, and thankful to all of you for being here and your service. I joined for a few weeks about 4 months ago now and felt like it was really helpful for me and then just stopped doing it for several months, coming to these calls. Daring to be honest with myself. This paragraph really got me because I think it's cuts to the core of my issue is that I'm really good at avoiding being honest with myself and somehow thinking that it's all going to work out, somehow thinking that I'm impervious to all the damage that my obesity causes and my compulsive eating, and with filling up my weekly pill containers yesterday, and just had a moment of honesty with myself. It's like, look at this. I'm taking 7 different drugs to balance all these different parts of my body that all relate to my lack of honesty with myself and my eating. And I had a sad moment of just realization. Look at this. I'm freaking filling up these weekly pill containers because I don't take care of myself, and somehow thinking I'm getting away with having my hand in the cookie jar, if you will, but all I'm getting away with is hurting myself. And so this honesty thing is right on for me today. So appreciate all the service that it takes to have this call, and appreciate all of you. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Peter M. Welcome back. Is Mary O. on the line? Otherwise, we'll take a couple more names. I think I can take 3.
Melanie C.
I heard her. Somebody. Melanie C.
Amelia P.
Angie.
Kathy B.
Angie.
Okay. I said Melanie. Who was after Melanie?
Elaine G.
Nope. It was somebody else. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Kathy B.
Kathy B. Thank you. That's it.
So it was actually Amelia P. Amelia
B. It was Amelia. Sorry. And that was who it was. Thank you, Amelia. All right. So I have Melanie C., Amelia B., and Elaine G. Good morning. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank God. Well, thank God. Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I like this part because the way I read it is that it's setting the stage for what's to come. This is the chapter that eventually I'm going to be getting into step 4, the clearing out and cleaning out. And if I approach it thoroughly, you know, and as honest as I can be with myself, I'm going to be able to be opened up for that transformation that's coming. And I can only be so honest because I am only here at step 2, right? We're being restored to sanity. And I've already taken care of the abstinence piece because that is addressed in step 0 and step 1. If I don't have a solid step 1, I won't be able to go further. And so I understand what the food bit is all about. It's already put down. Because we've talked a lot about, you know, dry drunks in this group and therefore not being honest, but they continue to stay absent and sober. So this really is setting the stage and the tune in my mind for hope, you know, that they are really addressing the idea. If I have any doubt or if I have that thought in my mind that I'm not going to be able to get this thing, which was certainly something that I carried with me for a very long time. And I sometimes was looking for a loophole because I spent 17 years in relapse before abstinence came to me in 2005, that I don't have to worry about that part, that the honesty from this piece forward is going to be coming over time. It's the restoration of sanity. I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know what I debate, you know, in my mind. And so I look at it like that because what's coming, there's just setting the stage. Here you go, folks. Rarely have we seen a person fail. You're going to be fine. You're going to get this deal. Don't back out. Don't recoil from it. Stay in the middle of the herd, and you're going to get this deal. These are the only cases that we see that it didn't happen. And basically, it boils down to truly mentally unwell people, you know, and they have even seen great hope there. So I don't like to take it any further than that. I don't like to rub it down too much deeper than that. I like to keep it at that particular level of the preparing what's coming next, which is this wonderful bit. You know, it talks about on page 29, there's a line that says, further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. And look at the words recover already in this particular paragraph. They're just simply setting the stage on the clear-cut directions that are coming next. And not to fear, Melanie, about the honesty piece, because that's going to work itself out. And I don't have to take a bite just because I'm not weighing and measuring, or I did weigh and measure, you know, a teaspoon of something that maybe later on down the road I didn't think was too smart that I was taking in that doesn't cause me to relapse. And I like that thought. It really freed me. But I had to take a while to get to that piece. I'll tell you that. So that's the way I take this. A little bit more lightly and as a true boost of positivity of what's to come. And I get really excited about that. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you, Melanie C. Glad to hear your voice. Next up is Amelia B., followed by Elaine G., if we have time. Amelia B.? Press star one to unmute. I can. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Amelia P. P is in Peter.
Oh, P, sorry.
And I'm in California. And I have been listening to Vision for You for a long time, but this is my first time getting to share. This paragraph, I've heard it a very long time. I came into program in my early 20s, and I always was worried that somehow I was constitutionally unable to be honest with myself, because I do have a lot of mental disabilities, and they hold me back from a lot of things, but I've learned that I was being dishonest. I was being dishonest about alcoholic foods that my sponsors at the time had said were okay, and that I was binging on and finding ways to binge on them. And I am so grateful today because I've really come clean about those things, and I'm working the steps with my sponsor, and I'm just trying to be open and honest and being willing to learn things about myself that I've hidden from myself, and being willing to have God's presence in my life directing me to find these things and to really open up. And I'm grateful for that today. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, Elaine, we got 1 minute for you.
Thank you very much. This is Elaine from New York, and I just want to say about the paragraph, I feel like when I'm not abstinent, I'm not honest, you know? And I had told a half lie, half truth to a therapist, and you know something? I had to go through the 10th step. I went through the Bible, God box, spoken to people on the phone. I had to get straight with God, you know? And I feel better now, you know? And I realized I got to work the program, you know? And you can't do half measures of Elvis nothing, yeah? And I'm beginning to realize that. I'm just made myself suffer with guilt and everything else for what I did, you know, and I asked God to forgive me, you know. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine, for sharing. That will be our last share for today. Thank you all who shared. Great, great paragraph and great shares. Okay. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask, oops, let me see, I got to open my page here. We'll ask, who is it? It's Shelley, I think. Yeah, Shelley E. to read page 164. I lost my place.
I did too, Mo. So there you go. Must be one of them. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book, page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting